Thomas Atkinson joins me in the studio tonight. He's one of our fine Cincinnati authors who writes short stories, plays, as well as novels. His work has received many accolades. Among them, he's a five-time recipient of the Ohio Arts Council Individual Excellent Award. His novel, Tiki Mon, was a finalist in the Leapfrog Press Fiction Contest. His short story, Standing Deadwood, was recently republished on the North American Review blog. His play, Dancing Turtle, was a winner in the Samuel French Off-Off-Broadway Festival. And Ruined Horse, first runner-up for the Chris O'Malley Prize in Fiction, which will be published by the Madison Review. His first novel, Strobe Life, is now out in print edition, and we're going to talk more about both Ruined Horse and Strobe Life tonight. Tom, it's delightful to welcome you back.
Hi, it's glad to be back.
I think that you are masterful at creating believable characters and settings for them, places and time for them, and for us, your readers. So let's start with you taking us there to the opening paragraphs of Ruined Horse.
I'd be happy to. The narrator in this is Amber, and she's a 14-year-old girl. I was sitting in Miss Jer Lee's trims and tans. It's my grandma's beauty parlor, my mom's mom, and everybody calls her Miss Jerry, or just Jerry. Even me, if anybody's in earshot, because she says she don't look old enough to be a grandmother. She does. Dad used to say she's fighting the good fight, but spray tan and teeth whitener can only take you so far. The tanning bed's been broke as long as I can remember, and she gets a spray tan wholesale with her beautician license. She's orange as the big barrels of cheese curls I like so much from the Dollar General, and her teeth glow like those fluorescent pigtail lights. Miss Geraldine's was packed full of high school girls, all tattooed and snake bit, getting their hair and nails done up for prom, but it still smelt like chemicals and burnt hair and old lady B.O. The clouds were piling up outside, and to take my mind off them, I was looking at an old Cosmo, hoping it wouldn't rain. That's all there is, three-year-old Cosmos with covers wavy from coffee rings and the sweat off all those diet Mountain Dews. There was an article called How to Drive Your Man Wild in Bed, and the yellow-eyed girl sitting next to me waved a loose hand over the pages and said, "Hell, that's easy."
Thank you. I want to now have you read to us, if you would, from Strobe Life, because this is a different narrator, and then we'll talk about the two of them.
This is the first chapter, which I can't tell you the name of because it's family hour. But the title of the novel is Strobe Life, and the narrator is a character called V2. Dono and Coyote are sitting across from me talking about some Mexican welterweight Coyote knew back home in El Paso. It seems like a long way to come just to end up in the flatlands of Ohio. But then again, Dono was the last white man from the South Bronx. Ohio, the heart disease of it all. I don't know anyone that meant to come here. Even the people from here. It's like everyone's luck just played out on their way to someplace else. Coyote is a Mexican Indian, and he looks just like a carving from some Aztec temple wall. Same eyes, same nose, same pushback head. It's hard to picture him sitting around some dirt-floored shack with 11 brothers and sisters and an uncle with TB, especially since he's one of the few sane people I know. Maybe the only one. Definitely the only one at the table. Maybe abject poverty gives you a firm grounding in reality. He's here and they're there, and that's best, I guess, for him anyway. Dono looks like he's wrapped too tight, and he is, but so am I. He taught me to box, and now we go up to the university gym 3 times a week and beat the crap out of each other in a racquetball court. It does us both a world of good. And for those 3 days at least, it probably does the world some good. Not that I really care. I've been drinking shots and shorts since happy hour started 2 years ago, and it is working slow. I've already drunk myself sober once today, and that's not something I want to experience again, ever. Under normal circumstances, I understand very little about the world, and when I'm sober, I understand even less.
Thank you. So, very different narrators from the young girl in Ruined Horse to an adult male, a musician, as it happens, and he spends a lot of time on drugs and alcohol. And they're both living in what I would call the grittier side of life. But what's really interesting to me is that I did feel sympathy. I really came to care about these folks. So I'm interested in why you would choose to write about them. Do you want us to care? Do you care? And why?
I absolutely want you to care. And I think that I've always been drawn to sort of the fringe dwellers. In Strobe Life, the narrator refers to sort of the aliens among us. I think that finding the humanity in everybody is really important. And that's why I think when you start with these characters that may seem to be easily dismissed, and then finding the humanity in them that makes them equal, that makes them human, and it's what allows you into their lives.
You know, sometimes in novels, there's this miraculous redemption. What are your thoughts on redemption, in particular in relation to these characters?
I think that the characters, due to their circumstance, their setting, their upbringing, their economic position, I don't know that they are going to get a big redemption. But I think sometimes they settle for small redemptions, which in the circumstance are big redemptions. Mm-hmm. And I think that the end of Ruined Horse, that's what that's about. And the genesis for that story, I saw something sort of out on the street that had been thrown out of an apartment that the people had been thrown out of. And it was obviously something that was very important to a child, but not important to anyone else in the child's life. And it struck me how, you know, small things can be very big things, you know, especially at a certain age.
I want to talk with you a bit about genre formats, if you will, because you do write plays, short stories, and novels.
I wrote a story called Grimace in the Burnt Black Hills that was very successful for me. The narrator goes from Ohio to South Dakota, and it has a lot of different settings, and they're in the car a lot. It sounds like a really sort of cop-out writerly thing to say, but some things tell me that they want to be short stories, and other things tell me that they want to be plays. And sometimes the reason for that is very clear, very practical, very pragmatic. And other times it's a much more ephemeral thing where it just says, this is what I want to be. And I just tend to listen to that little voice, whatever it is. And if it tells me it wants to be a short story, I listen to it.
I know that you have a play that's going to be presented in the fall in Chicago. It's an exciting thing to look forward to. What else are you working on now?
Yeah, the play is Cuttings, and that's going to be at Artemisia Theater September the 26th. And right now I'm working on a new short story, and I'm working on the part of it that I hate, which is the marketing of the novel and the marketing of the short story collection. They keep winning all these awards, but that doesn't seem to provoke anybody into publishing them. So I'm a little frustrated.
Please keep it up. We enjoy and appreciate your work so much, and I'll look forward to talking with you soon back here again.
I love coming down. Thanks, Barbara.
Delightful to be with you. I've been talking with Tom Atkinson about his short story, Ruined Horse, and his novel, Strobe Life. You'll find more information about them at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
I went traveling on a long road was but one road I could see. Up and down and stumbling forwards towards a place I couldn't see. Towards a place I couldn't see. Towards a place I couldn't see.